It's now time for Race Chat Live with Chris Creighton and Craig Moore.
Race fans, how the hell are you? It's Chris Creighton. We're going to have Craig Moore on here in just a minute. Glad to have y'all on this Thursday night. I missed y'all last week, but the show went on. Not too many times have I had to go back and listen to my own show. Taz Taylor and Craig Moore, they did an awesome job, and I appreciate them keeping the show going while I was out having a little bit of fun with the 8th Annual Southern Street Stock Nationals, trying to make some of that money back that I lost this past weekend. I'm working a little bit late here tonight, but I got some great guys in the studio that's going to help cover my butt there for a couple of minutes here. But man, we have a boatload of stuff in store for us tonight. I hope we do anyway. It's been plenty of NASCAR news, and man, I could spend the next hour and a half talking about all that racing we done over the past weekend. I'd say somewhere around 4,500 fans, 350 cars. Woo! Oh my God, I was still hurting on Wednesday. I ain't gonna lie to you. Wait, today's Thursday. Hell, I'm still hurting. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. So I'm pulling up here. Mr. Craig Moore, how you doing, sir?
Craig's not in the studio yet.
Okay. Well, Mr. CJ Sports, can you cover me just a second, pay some bills real quick?
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig here on the One Thing Nation Sports Radio Network. I want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus for more than music. You guys can find their banners on our page at www.theonethingnationsports.com. Click on the banner, Carolina Sports Plus, to get all your sporting merchandise needs. And then more than music, get your DJ for any special event to include weddings. I think he's got some kind of deal going on for weddings. So make sure you guys go over there, click the banners. Make sure you guys check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. There's a lot going on the website. We just had 5 press releases just alone yesterday with the race teams that we have relationships with. So a lot of racing information going on over there. And for all you other sports fans, I talked about Nick Chubb's concussion protocol. Of course, I talked a little bit about Kyle Larson as well today, SEC before that. So a little bit of everything going on over there. So make sure you guys check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com. Also, you guys can follow the 110 Nation on Twitter, at 110 Nation, and give us a like on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. You guys can catch the 110 Nation Sports Show every Monday and Wednesday night, 8 p.m., right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. So make sure you guys check that out as well. I'm going to see if Chris is back yet. You there, Chris? No, not back yet. Waiting to hear these guys talk about. Sounds like he might be back because that goes back.
Oh man! I tell you what, it's hard to do two things at once. Did we get Craig Moore in the studio yet, boss?
No, not yet.
Well, I don't know where to go from here. So, we got Indy 500 this weekend. Let's start with that.
Isn't that the second Indy 500 this year?
I was so confused. Talked about that one. It feels like it. Which what they did was they ran the Indy Grand Prix. So they did the road course along with the Xfinity cars. This is their first time out on the racetrack.
We're going to backtrack this for a second. I'm going to let the fans hear what the conversation when in the front. I think it was front page of the paper somewhere. I saw that Andretti got the pole. And that's when I messaged in the group. I was like, didn't we run? I could have swore we had this conversation about the Indianapolis 500. I remember we talking about picking drivers, and I remember I think I picked the same driver as Chris. I picked the same driver as somebody because I don't keep up with IRL. And so I, for some reason, I thought that was Memorial Day weekend in the Indianapolis 500, and that's when Chris informed me that was a Grand Prix. I was like, you know, that would be slick of IRL to try to, with the money situation this year, let's have two Indy 500. NASCAR's ran different things in multiple tracks. I wouldn't have had a problem running Indy twice, and you couldn't be in Indianapolis 500 twice. You'd have to call it a 400, run 400 miles or something, just like what we do with Daytona, and you got the Coke Zero 400 or the race, one's a 600, one's a 500. Can't have two of the same race, but I was really so confused. I really honestly thought we ran the 500, and I'm like, hold on, didn't we do this thing once?
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, Scott Dixon won the road course version of the Indy race. And believe it or not, for the first time in 40-something years, I believe is what they said, an Andretti sits on the pole for the Indy 500. Marco Andretti, of course, you know, Marco's been around. He's a seasoned veteran, not nowhere near the type of career that we expected when Marco showed up. But, you know, his father, Michael Andretti, was a legend, just never did. Are you there?
Yeah.
I just never did win the big one, you know. As for Mario, he's won a Daytona 500 and a couple of Indy 500s. But, you know, just to have an Andretti there on the pole position, I think it gave a lot of extra news to a race that was probably going to be forgotten about, you know, being that it's not run at its traditional time. You know, it's obviously, you know, had that kind of exposure that you're getting from an Andretti, exactly what the Indy 500 needed. I'm not going to jump on the conspiracy train either. You know, I really feel like Andretti earned the time. And, you know, I mean, now that Penske's kind of the leader of the Indy League, you know, I don't Maybe he did give him a little extra something in that carburetor, but I doubt that. I think Marco just went out there.
Oh, and as well as Chris. I'm sure he'll be calling back in here in a minute. The whole Andretti thing, I don't know. I can't get sucked up into this. I've seen Marco have strong cars that should win races, and give it up and just not be able to put the whole race together. So it wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if Marcos Andretti finds a way to choke on this one. Just wouldn't be surprised. Hate to jump into stuff. And then they have this plan, who they're going to talk to, or what conversations or topics they're going to jump into. And then I've already talked about it or anything else. I will talk about the fact that, and I'm not sure how long until Chris is chiming back in. So I did talk about... Kyle Larson was one of the two pieces that I dropped on the website over there at www.the110nationsports.com, talking about people chiming in, wanting to know basically the time for him to get back behind the wheel of a car. Is it time for NASCAR to lift this indefinite suspension? Is it time for a team owner to give Kyle Larson an opportunity? Tony Stewart with a car, a ride, it looks like the seat's about to be open, the number 14. He would come to topic, put his two cents into this topic, talking about it's time. You know, I think it's an unfortunate thing that NASCAR jumped on this. Um, I think it's unfortunate that NASCAR jumped on this whole political, getting politically involved with this. Banning the Confederate flag, even though I'm not for the Confederate flag. I don't like the flag, but I also know that there are more people that have that flag because of heritage and where they're from and everything else versus having it for hate. And so I don't believe that everybody that has that flag for heritage should be punished for the few bad. We could do this with anything, any kind of group, every kind of type of group. To include, should we ban the Christian flag because there was a priest that did horrible things to kids? Like, we can nitpick everything to have to please and abide everything to where we wouldn't have anything. Them getting involved with the whole Bubba Wallace, and then instead of just saying, you know what, we screwed up, we jumped the gun because of everything going on, blah, blah, blah. But they chose to double down with Bubba Wallace because the money is good, sponsors are coming in, Richard Petty Motorsports needs this funding and everything else. And then you allow basically the 2020 version of the KKK, BLM, to be on your cars. I don't like none of that. But at the end of the day, when it comes to what Carl Larson said using the N-word on a live feed of iRacing that's associated with NASCAR, I'm sorry, I have an issue with, I have a zero. There's, you can ask anybody that's part of the 110 Nation. When I tell them, you know, invite them to be, have shows, come on shows, right? The only two rules I have is nothing racist and nothing has to do with kids. Like, that's really the only two rules. That's only two stipulations I have. I don't feel that it's time for Kyle Larson to be back. I don't feel that he's, what, been suspended for, what, 3-4 months at most, at best? And then there wasn't, like, a racing within, like, that first month. So he's only missed out, what, a couple months of racing for a racial slur? I'm sorry, but the punishment needs to be, it just looks like you just put on a show, and then now you have this whole political stance, and you've divided your fan base. Now you're talking about, the possibility of him coming back, I don't think it would be a good look. I think, honestly, and like I wrote in my piece, that I feel that this needs to drag into a little bit of next year. I'm sorry, but I think that he should not be eligible to win a championship next year. I think he should at least have to sit out the first race or how many races it takes to make you ineligible or just be deemed ineligible and not be part of the 500, not be part of the biggest show of the year. As part of your punishment. I'm sorry, but what he said is inexcusable. There's zero tolerance anywhere and everywhere for that. But you've not really punished him. But he lost his ride at Chip Ganassi, but he's making bank with his own stuff going on the dirt. So he's not really lost anything. And what, there's only a few sponsors that jumped off board, rather still got some and probably got more since. But NASCAR-wise, you've, what, missed a month, maybe a month and a half of racing? Like, you missed the whole 6 tracks we've been to? Like, I think there should be a little bit more to the punishment. That's just my opinion. I'm going to go ahead and get, I think this might be Chris calling back in. I ordered a different phone number. Is this you, Chris?
I'm back, and, you know, I can kind of agree, but there again, I can disagree. And how I disagree with what you say is because we've had somebody who has flipped this word before, and their punishment didn't turn into the type of punishment that Kyle Larson has paid the price for. And sure enough, that was probably more of a delicate time, but a slur is a slur. And, the fact that he has missed racing. And look, I mean, if you want to say, okay, you know, Larson can be reinstated, but he's gonna be suspended for the rest of this year and the first 5 races of next year, then somebody like a Tony Stewart or, Rick Hendrick or whoever else, they can sign this guy. They can go ahead and start doing what they need to do to put him in a place to be able to rehabilitate his name and his character, you know, because that's the problem right now is there's no sponsor in the world that wants to even touch Kyle Larson because of the political backlash that could definitely happen. But now if we were given a specific reinstatement similar to the way Antonio Brown has been reinstated, but he still has to serve an 8-game suspension, you know, then at least with that time a team knows what they got to do to sign Kyle Larson. Because basically he is the biggest free agent on the market, and I'm not saying that it's just going to be hard to ink a multi-million-dollar deal with a team in the middle of next year when NASCAR decides to reinstate him. I believe, really, with all my heart, that Tony Stewart has reached out and tried to land Kyle Larson, and they know that they're up against NASCAR right now. NASCAR is going to have to make a move. Move is made. I think that we can have a better set opinion of where it goes from here. I do believe in second chances, and Larson deserves his. But you're kind of right. For right now, he's definitely
kind of right.
It should not be.
Not,
Kyle Larson
I agree with
not
some of your opinions,
and
not
the other.
If you want to tell me I'm right or wrong,
sir.
I like that. I said you're not going to say you agree and disagree with some of my opinions or thoughts. You're just going to tell me I'm right or wrong. I said I like that.
Well, yeah, you know, that's how we do it. You know, that's what we do. We got respect for each other's opinions.
I want to throw a couple points out real quick. Then we'll get Craig in the studio and let him chime in on his two cents. When it comes to the punishment, I feel that the punishment is what it is because of timing. You know, once upon a time in the 70s, you could have said that word, nobody would have batted an eye. It's really all about timing, and Kyle Larson did it on a live feed of a video game regardless. It was still live feed with NASCAR fans in the middle of all the George Floyd stuff going on, regardless of everybody's feelings on it. It was all about timing on that. And so I feel that there should always been a zero tolerance, and it should have been stiffer across the board for any race. Like, everybody should feel welcome and everything else, but this to me is all about timing. Now, when it comes to Kyle Larson getting reinstated, I went on to talk about he's not actually asked for reinstatement. They're just talking about it, whatever. I think what I honestly think is Kyle Larson and Tony Stewart are working on if they can find sponsorship and line everything up. I think they're taking this opportunity. It's kind of getting the buzz in the air. It's kind of going that momentum. Let's see what feelers we can get out there. If we can get a sponsor to jump on board, then we'll push for your reinstatement. And I think that's going to be the process. I think if he gets reinstated, he's going to Stuart Haas. I think Clint Boyer is out the door. But I think that that's what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to get all their ducks in line to see if they're going to get the financial backing to do this. And if it's going to come about, then I think he's going to push it. Got you in the studio, Craig.
All right.
Is this Craig?
Mr. Craig.
Or is this our guest?
It may be our guest, my friend. It may be our guest.
Is this our guest tonight, Jason Samaroff?
Yes, Jason Samaroff.
Yeah, guy.
Samaroff.
I really messed it up.
Oh, right, Chris, yeah. They send you back to announcer school there, Mr. CJ Sports. So, Mr. Samrod, how you doing today, sir?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing just fine, just fine. We want to thank Taz Taylor for getting this interview set up. Jason Samrod, he's a street stock driver. Samrod, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been racing and what's got you on the show here tonight?
Let's see. I've been in racing for about 12 years. I ran the street stocks at Fonda since probably 2011, 2012. You know, so.
Tell us about your victories, man. You've been in victory lane a lot, or tell us a little bit about the structure of your team.
When I first started Fonda Speedway, I got probably one or two. I never thought I would ever win there. I started out with two wins, and then with 2018, it went on to five wins there. And then last year, I went on about, I got five more, and I got a track champion last year. And then this year, I got two, and then another track champion.
My goodness gracious. So you like to show up to the racetrack, that's for sure. So what are y'all running up there? Because down here, we're a Durance Lane sanction. We run 602s, crate motors, along with the little open motor package. Our cars look, you know, they basically are like they're like late models, man. They're not even building these cars like street stocks anymore. What about your street stock class? Is it more like a hobby stock IMCA, or are you familiar with the Durance Lane type cars? We just had the biggest street stock race in America this past weekend, the Southern Street Stock Nationals at Why Not Motorsports Park, where we introduced 117 of you bad boys. All racing for about $5,000 to win. Tell us about your motor package and stuff like that, the way that the rules are set up where you race.
I have two cars. My new car has got a 602 crate motor in it. And my other car, that's the older car, that's got the open motor in it. So, I mean, the only difference I think up here is, like, we can't run – you know, jack and bolts and stuff like that. You know, we got to run all stock stuff, and then the tires has got to be stock tires.
Yeah, see, we run H500s on our tires down here. But there's a whole lot of wiggle room in the rule books for down here. As a matter of fact, there's probably nothing stock in our stock car series at all. Adjustable shock mounts, I mean, you name it, They show no mercy. These guys are basically racing super stocks with a 602 crate motor in it. Did you say a 602 or a 604?
No, I got a 602 in my new car.
602. So that's kind of the rule package. Now, y'all have an open package as well, obviously, if you have an open motor. How much horsepower is that open motor pushing out there, boss? And are you having to run out on a two barrel?
The open motor runs on a Holley two barrel. It probably runs like 400 horse.
Right. Wow. I'd be racing that car a little bit more than that 602. What about you?
I like the 602 better than the open motor.
Come on. Wow.
No, I like
this thing.
Yeah. I think you spin more with the open motor than you do with the crate motor. You could drive off the corners better.
Yeah, with the open motor you can?
No, you spin a lot more with the open motor.
Oh, okay. So y'all are used to a lot of dry slick tracks up there,
yep.
Which we are,
yep.
Too. We are, too. And that's it. 602s are really the go-to motors. Very few people actually use the open motor rule anymore. They took away the double valve springs and stuff like that. So, you know, literally, like you just said, get a lot of wheel spin out of these tracks. When you get that rubber down, it starts going dry slick on you. So, but now, you know, unfortunately, my other two guys that were supposed to be on the show here tonight that are actually from that way, neither one of them could make the show here tonight. So I've got my producer sitting in to kind of fill in their spots. So I'm kind of winging this as we go. But, Samrock, tell us about your competition up there. How many guys are you racing? And, what's been one of your funnest nights that you can remember, man?
Let's see. The funnest night was about 3 years ago when I ran side-by-side with Michael Arnold. And, I mean, we ran probably six laps side-by-side, and I barely got him for the win coming out of four. That's when I got him for the win. So I think that was one of my best nights.
Side by side to the finish line. I love those kind of stories there. And let me ask you something. Were you even looking at the flag stand, or were you looking at him when you come out of turn four? I guarantee you was looking where he was, and you wasn't even worried about that checkered flag, was you?
No, I wasn't worried about the checkered flag. I think I was more glinting eye on the side of him.
Yeah, that's the way it always is, my friend. We've had quite a few cars hit the wall right there outside the flag stand. With our two and three wide finishes that we've had out at Why Not Motorsports Park. As a matter of fact, one year, I think it was a few years ago, David Earl Gentry put Donnie Ashford up in the wall and actually made the Speedway Illustrated. We'd love for you to come down and enjoy this big old happening race that we have every year at the Street Stock Nationals. What's the largest car field you've ever raced in, man? Because we started 3 wide and 36 cars this past weekend. Could you imagine that yourself?
I've never raced with that many, but when I first started racing, we probably had maybe 25 cars on a quarter-mile track. I mean, now we got probably the most is 10 cars. I mean, and we have, you know, I mean, we have, you know, some people that runs with us. I mean, I got probably about five other guys that, you know, can win any other week, so.
Right, so are y'all like, are y'all a competitive group or are y'all a friend? Y'all all friends? Do you hang out at the shop? Tell us about what goes on away from the track.
I have, let's see, my brother runs with me. And, I mean, he's just starting out, so he's not that good. But I have another buddy, the one I told you I was running side-by-side with. We usually talk every day. I usually get out and help him on his car. So, I mean, you know, I'm usually, you know, friends with him. So it's not, you know, just at the track. But all the rest of
right.
it's mainly, you know, competitive. So.
Right. Where do you want to go from here? Do you have do you want to go up into the modifieds, or are you pretty happy in your street stock? I believe you told me you started in 2011. You started in street stocks and you stuck around for 9 years.
Yeah, I mean it took me a while to get used to them, you know, but I just kept buying junk, you know, and then not this winter, just past the winter before that, I built, you know, Wilson's Motorsports. Built me a brand new car, and that's, you know, that's when I started getting really competitive, you know. So, I mean, I want to stick around street stocks, you know, I have a lot of fun there, you know, so I think that's what I'm going to continue doing.
Yeah, street stocks is a whole new breed. You know, it used to be that there was kind of a beginner's class, but I tell you, over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, it's become a very competitive, and I'll be honest with you, a very expensive class. We have some street stocks down here that are $35,000 and $45,000. As a matter of fact, there's a Project X car built by the Highway 19 Speed Shop that you can get one brand new motor and all for $45,000. And every bolt, every lug nut, everything from your transmission to your motor, it's all going to be brand new. So that's the going rate for a nice piece. Tell me something. Have you figured out a way to make racing less expensive? Because I've searched far and wide for 10 years to try to figure out how to make this sport a little bit cheaper. Have you found any way to do it yet?
No. I've always went year by year thinking it's going to stay the same, but this year after year, I think it always gets more money.
Right. So who builds your cars?
Wilson's Motorsports. It's his name is Joey Wilson. He used to run at Albany Saratoga up here, and one year he got a hold of me and he asked me to if he could build me a car. He gave me a price and I went with it, and that was my first track champion with that car.
Do you travel a lot, Jason? Do you go to different tracks? And if you do, how do you figure out what gear to pull at those tracks?
I've only been mainly at Fonda and Glenridge Motorsports Park, you know, right up the hill from Fonda Speedway. I've never really hit any other tracks. This Friday, tomorrow, I'm going to try Albany Saratoga. So I don't know what that's going to give right now. I mean, we just got done working on a car for tomorrow. So I'm going to find out what that happens tomorrow.
If you could do anything in racing, Jason, what would it be?
I don't know. Probably make it more cheaper so it wouldn't cost so much.
Do what?
Make it more cheaper.
Wait a minute. I gave you a chance to answer that question. You couldn't give me anything.
No.
let's open it up a little bit. You could do anything. You could drive a super late model. You could start the Daytona 500. You could ride in the Indianapolis 500. You could be a World of Outlaws champion. you could drive a sprint car, what would it be, man? If you could do anything in racing, what would it be?
I would want to try a sprint car.
All right. That takes some balls.
That's what I would want to do.
Those guys are a different breed.
Yes.
You think you got that in you?
Yeah, that's definitely what I would want to try.
I hear you. So, do y'all have a lot of sprint cars that come up that way?
This year we haven't seen them at all because of, you know, all the pandemic stuff going on. So we haven't seen, I think we've seen them once maybe at Fonda, and that's probably about it. You know, with all the pandemic going on, our season started late, so.
Now, let me ask you something. How are racetracks going to survive if this continues on? Are you worried? I know I am. We got away with something this past weekend that we probably shouldn't have done, but we did it anyway. And it meant life or death for our speedway if we didn't do it. Bills didn't get paid, and we may not have a racetrack next year. But we did do it. And may have gotten penalized for it. I don't know. I'm not the track owner. But how do we survive in this current environment? Because it is absolutely almost impossible to pay purses and keep racetracks open if you don't have any fans.
No, I agree with that. I mean, Fonda, they tried to run with no fans. They tried to do an infield parking. That got shut down. I mean, we've probably ran maybe 9 races or maybe even 8. And, I mean, we're done for the season at Fonda now because, you know, all this. I mean, if it keeps going, I don't see the racetracks surviving. I mean, we definitely need fans to make it go.
If that were to happen, what do you think we're going to go to? I mean, are we gonna buy a piece of land? And, I mean – racing is a part of America, okay? When you say racing, you think Henry Ford, okay? When you say racing, you think 125 years of the Indy 500. I mean, this is more than just a lot. It's more than just racing. It's a lifestyle for many of us. If it were to be dissolved, as it seems to be that the government is trying to do, what are we going to do? Are we going to go back to chasing folks down mountain hills, or what's the game plan? Because I'll be honest with you, I thought about buying a couple of acres somewhere and hiding a racetrack off in the bushes.
I mean, that's the only thing you really could do. I mean, with everything going on, I mean, I don't see the racetracks making it. I mean, and racing is, you know, there's a lot of people involved in racing. I mean, when I don't race, me and my wife, we go to all over racetracks, you know. We try to go an hour away or so, you know, watch racing. So, I mean, it's not, you know, just me driving. I mean, I watch racing a lot too. So, without that, I mean,
I'm a race fan as well.
Yeah,
I'm a race fan as well, James. Jason, I swear to you, if there was something on TV and it had to do with stick and ball, or it has to do with making laps on an oval or a road course or whatever, I'm going to be more inclined to watch the racing than I am the stick and ball sports. Now, I love stick and ball sports because that's how I buy my time before another race comes on, you know, and that's, you know, I'm kind of a sports fanatic. I do follow all sports, but my favorite sport is racing. I'll take you back to a memory I just had. And we were all hurting. We needed racing bad in our lives because it just got pulled away like a girlfriend in high school that left you on senior prom for somebody else, okay? They had a marble race. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was on Facebook, and this guy was racing marbles down a hill. I was more fascinated. That just gave me a thrill to watch these marbles racing down a hill because, literally, I was going through withdrawals. I mean, when you're a true race fan, You search for that adrenaline rush that you get at these racetracks. I've raised my kids up at a racetrack. I go to a racetrack every time. I've even gotten into drag racing since all the pandemic has happened. We don't travel too far off anymore, but we do go down when we're off from our dirt track, and we go watch a little drag racing.
Yeah. Now, do you guys got to, let me ask you, do you guys got to wear masks in your racetracks when you got to race down there or no?
We're a bunch of Republicans down here, and Republicans, for some reason, I don't know. No, we didn't practice no social distancing. We didn't wear face masks. We literally, damn near 4,500 of us piled up into a little bitty 3/8 mile racetrack, and we just enjoyed each other's company. You know, I understand what the mask is for, but you know, there again, we're a little bit of a different breed down here in the South. We're a little bit more hard headed. I'm not saying it's the right way, and I'm not saying that we probably helped somebody get in trouble this past weekend by not doing the things that we've been asked to do by the mandated sacrifices our governor's asked us to do. But what I feel like is really going on right now is the fact of it that a lot of people are losing high school football. And when you take high school football away from people, well, whatever else it was that you had planned, you can kiss it goodbye too, because now you've pissed off a whole lot of parents who, you know, thrive to see their children play football. I played football as well in high school. I'm sure my parents would have been on the same bandwagon that some of these parents are on as well. But when you take away something like that, and you really think they're going to give a darn if we can race? No, sir, they don't want us to race either. If they can't have their football, then we can't have our racing. And that's what we're being pinned against right now. Unfortunately, I think we had our last good one. You know, I mean, this could be the last race that we have until next year, or even further down the road, depending on you know, where this nation goes in the next 6 months. It's a very volatile situation right now, and I know it is for y'all too up north.
Yes, I mean, I still don't think even next year. I still don't think our seasons are going to start on time.
No. And it's very crazy, they want you to get a vaccine that's only going to work 50% of the time, and of course they cut out hydroxychloroquine. They say, oh, that doesn't work at all, but yet we're going to give you a vaccine and it only halfway works. I'm just really, and you look at the way each state's handled this situation, every state has their own issues and their own way of doing things. Man, we have really turned this pandemic into a cluster mess. And I wanted to use a better word than that, but I'll keep it as clean as possible on this here radio show. But until we kind of figure out how to manage this, and I really honestly, I believe wholeheartedly, that a test that's coming very soon, where it's a quick test, they swab it in your mouth, and it'll tell you almost immediately. Once that test gets mass-produced and we get them in every place that's possible and they're cheap, then I think that we can go back to our regular, you know, reinstated lives. I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, that's going to be where we get to go. Now, you know, I think when this first started, we were all scared. We all panicked. We were afraid we were going to watch our neighbors being drug out of the houses in body bags. This wasn't the plague. But we've definitely proven to the world that if it was the plague, we'd be a bunch of dead idiots. I mean, if you can give me an amen, give me an amen. You know? We hadn't handled this too well.
No.
Oh, I needed that good laugh. Thank you very much. Jason, tell us a little bit about your sponsors and who helps you out, man, and we'll go ahead and get you off of here. We do appreciate you coming on the show, and we want, you know, you're a two-time track champion now. How does that feel? Were you headed out to try to get a track championship, or did this one just kind of fall in your lap?
I was
new car. Now
last year I was really working for it, and I never thought I would ever get one. And then it came, and then this year it was like, you know, with the pandemic and everything, I didn't think that we were gonna have that much racing to even have a championship. But I mean, this, you know, this one like just fell right in. So, I mean, it feels really good to have a track champion. I mean, I'd rather have a track champion than a win. So,
did they give you a trophy for the track championship?
Yep, they give us. If we have a banquet, we last year at the banquet, I got a bottle of champagne with my the car number and all that stuff on the car picture. I got a trophy.
Oh, wow.
Got a great big picture. Got a coat. I mean, I'm hoping we can have another banquet this year, but I'm not for sure. You know, with all the pandemic, so
yeah. Well, I hope that we see the better side of our nation again, and I hope it happens real soon. I know people like you and me, we're struggling right now because this new norm is not for us. And, you know, I kind of feel like how my father felt when disco decided to shut down. You know, he was a little bit more serious, but definitely – disco died in the matter of a blink of an eye, and our way of life seemed to have changed in the blink of an eye. And I would do anything for some normalcy. This was only supposed to last a few weeks, and of course, 6 months later, here we are.
Yeah,
we're still discussing
here.
It's still the main topic.
Yep. And you want to know about the sponsors, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, let's see. I got N3 Motorsports. He's been a big help this year. Starlight, they've been with me since I started racing, Starlight Lanes. Let's see, the Wagners, you know, that's my cousin, her husband, they helped me out a ton. He bought the new car for me 2 years ago, and my wife, she's a big help, you know, for me, putting up me in the hours in the garage, you know, so I got my uncle and all them, you know, so. And N3 Motorsports is buying me another car over the winter, so I'm going to have another new car.
Oh, wow. You're going to have another new car?
Yep.
All right. Did you wear out the first one that fast, or you just, you're going to get a little bit of money back while the getting's good?
I was talking to my wife over the summer, and I want to try other tracks, but it's too hard to do it with one car. He's my other car, my brother drives, so you know I only mainly have one car, so it's a little hard to drive, you know, to try other tracks with one car, so that's why we wanted to.
Are y'all able to run a quick change up there?
No.
No. Okay.
Nope.
Neither are we.
No.
Nope. So that's I can see why that would why you would need another car for that. Man, I appreciate you coming on to the show here, and I want to thank Taz Taylor once again for setting up this interview, and I wish I'd have had a little bit more prep time so that I would have known a little bit more about you, but I think we pulled it off without any problems, and hopefully we'll be able to get you back on later on down the road, and you can tell us about this new car build that you got.
Yeah, yes, it'll be great.
All right,
and
man. We appreciate
you. Want to talk to me.
No, I'll talk to anybody in the racing world. That's I tell you what, we've interviewed everybody from Jimmy Owens to our local kids down here. We've had Noah Grasden on the show. My producer, he's interviewed people from Bubba Wallace all the way to man, you wouldn't believe the type of people we've been able to talk to on this little bitty podcast here. It's always a pleasure. To be able to talk to different people from all over the coastline and throughout the United States. And, you know, we want to give you all a voice, and that's what we're here for, Race Chat Live and the 110 Nation Sports. That's what we do this for, is to get guys like you, not necessarily the Rocky Warners of the world. You know, we'll have him on too, but, you know, we want the little guy as well, the one that keeps because here's the thing. It's guys like you that keep a dirt track open. Okay, you are counted on every week to show up to a racetrack by that track promoter. You've been in the same class since 2011. That track promoter can almost put a check mark against your name every week when he opens his racetrack, and that's important. That is the most important thing in this business, is a returning customer. And, my friend, you're one of those. And that's what makes this a very important business. And so, yeah, I mean, doesn't matter what end of the spectrum you're on, we'll give you the 30-minute slot time to tell us all about it, and we'll look forward to having you on again.
Okay, thank you.
You there?
Sorry about that. I think I lost my connection on the phone there. Am I live?
I hear you. You hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So what had happened was I turned the car off and my Bluetooth disconnected from my internal stereo system because I've been sitting out in the driveway for the past 10 minutes. But, yeah, great interview. We appreciate Jason for being on, and look forward to having him back later on down the road. No sign from Craig yet, huh? He must have fell asleep in the recliner again.
Must have. Got a question for you.
Yeah.
How'd you like the road course at Daytona?
When I think about it, as some respect, because, you know, I've always wanted to see what racing was like, but I promise you, Mr. CJ Sports, every time I looked at those cars, I just envisioned the sports cars. You know, and I was like, well, they're not going as fast. You know, when you watch the sports cars put on a show at that racetrack, at that road course, and then you put a stock car out there, it's kind of, I don't know. I guess you have to be a Rolex fan in order to understand my take on that, because it is a little bit disappointing to see them going so slow. I think the Roval is a great thing. That's a tight-knit road course. But Daytona is a little bit cars, which means, you know, it's not much room for these guys to mess up anywhere.
Yeah. I like the Roval better at Daytona than I did at Charlotte. But also, like I talked about in my show on Monday, I like Super Speedway. Like, I have always been a huge fan of Daytona and Talladega, the three wide, inches apart, 200 miles an hour, the drafting, everything else. Like, just even the fact that how talented you got to be three wide going those speeds that close together, like, it is crazy to me. But, so I like the Daytona because you get some of the banking, the drafting, but you got the road course. The road course, period, to me, one, I wish that they would just make the second race of the season at Daytona, the road course. I think it's pointless, and I think it's what hurts part of the attendance is you run the 500, then you turn around 4 months later, run the 400. It's not as meaningful as a race, and it's the same race. Why not have, and same thing with Charlotte, why not one race be, you know, the 500 and the 600, and the other one be the Roval there? And that way you bring an interest the second time, not just a repeat of what we watched, but shorter from the first time. So I would rather see that. But the road course in general, to me, it's become such a fascinating race because what used to be everybody ran till they ran out of fuel and pitted and everything else. We saw the ringers, which, like I talked the other night, I can't remember really too many ringers even winning. I don't know. Other than I know that the road course was still new to a lot of these cup guys, and so a lot of them, you know, still had to learn how to do this. It was just new to them. There was really no point to the ringers. But then when we started watching them count backwards, and you had some people on pit strategy where they knew how many laps they had to pit so that they could pit before everybody else in their last pit stop and be out there. Then we add stages to it. So now you got a whole other scenario with some going full speed in their pit strategy. The other one's counting backwards, and then who needs stage points, who values stage wins. Like, that whole aspect, because of the how some cars, teams count backwards when they do the pit strategy, has made the road course races so intriguing, so fascinating to me, because it is a whole different game plan. It is a whole different – there's so much going on. Not even count what's actually going on the track, and it is so mind blowing, and it is so intriguing to me.
Well, I tell you, Mr. CJ Sports, it sounds like you need to get into sports car racing. And that's no slight. I mean, it's serious because those cars can really go really fast on some of these tight road courses. I want to keep NASCAR as oval as possible. Short tracks, intermediate tracks, super speedways, and a few road courses. I think that what made our sport very special is that you have to have a driver who is competitive on all types of tracks. I believe that NASCAR is moving more towards some of these road course races, but eventually what you're going to do is you're going to have guys who really get the road courses, and then you're going to have guys who just give up. Like, I'll use Ryan Newman as an example at Super Speedways. Ryan Newman hates Super Speedways. Of course, we can only understand why now, right? But he's, over the years, he's always disliked the Super Speedways. We're going to have drivers who dislike the road coursing, the road course races. And you'll basically start seeing a separation between those who really get it and those who don't. I think we've seen that this week with the race at the Daytona road course. We've seen, guys scattered all throughout the track, which made for less drama on the speedway. We go up to a place like Montreal, and that's a really tight track up there. It's a really tight road course. You go to Road Atlanta or Road America, and those are also very tight-knit tracks. I think that the road course was not designed for these cup cars. It's a little bit just too big. But there again, give us a couple more races before I decide whether or not I'm gonna take it or leave it. And, I give NASCAR a lot of credit for giving us these types of races just to see. Because you don't know what you have until you try it, right? I mean, that's you don't know if you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches until you eat one, you know? So, I mean, we're going to have some that like it and some that dislike it. I know that, throughout the years, the traditional NASCAR fan wasn't a fan of the road courses. But then you've had Shootout with Marcus Ambrose and Brad Keselowski and I believe it was Cole Custer and John Hunter Nemechek. Met all these bouts, and it's made it a lot more entertaining than what it was beforehand. But remember, if it turns into the same thing that we get out of these mile and a half speedways, it's not going to be as entertaining.
Yeah. You see what teams have mastered the mile and a half, and that's one of the reasons I wish they'd bring some road courses. Give us a little bit more variety. I'm tired of it being half the schedule is mile and a half tracks, and then the other half is a sprinkle of 2 mile tracks, super speedways, road courses, and short tracks. And either you're part of that group that has mastered the 1.5 mile, or you're not winning a championship. You got a few drivers that get lucky on a rain shortened race or Daytona Talladega wild card and find themselves into the chase from a win that they normally wouldn't have gotten. But that's usually how this season plays out. But talking about the changes in NASCAR, I've had to
there's
do
not
this
a
year.
Bigger, hold on. There's not a bigger turnoff than watching a mile and a half speedway and 13th on back is either 28 seconds behind the leader or already a lap down. That to me, is just the most discouraging thing to see in racing when you have most of the field not even on the lead lap.
Oh, I agree. And even though Charlotte was an hour and a half away and I went there more than any other track, that was the biggest turnoff to me. Was Charlotte was one of those tracks that usually one or two drivers dominate the track. Matter of fact, the last time I was there, that was the race that Martin Truex led like 97 or 90-something percent of the whole entire race and dominated the race. Kentucky was another race that was a convenient race for me to go to and always got approved, but most of the time Kentucky is a one- or two-person race, and that's really it, and everybody else is laps down. But talking about the things that they've done this year, in your opinion, the things that we've seen so far, what is one thing there is no doubt in your mind that NASCAR will implicate next year and repeat because you feel that it was that good or that good of a success? And then likewise, so far what we've seen of what they've tried, what is one thing that you wish NASCAR would have never tried or there's no way ever that they'll try it again?
I can't stand this cone rule. I'll start out with that. I cannot cone rule. I feel like your track position was everything. You know, the leader should pick whether or not they want the top lane or the bottom lane. Everybody else has to follow them behind. I don't like this cone rule. I do not like it. I do not like it. I do not like it. What I like about the changes this year is the fact that we finally left Charlotte Motor Speedway, a.k.a. Lowe's Motor Speedway, and we went and had an all-star race at a short track. I want more of that. That's what I'm talking about. So I'll take the all-star race being at Bristol, but they can have that other mess. They can have that commit cone or whatever, the cone rule, the choose rule. They can't even come up with a good name for it. And then they want to say that they got it from dirt track racing, and I don't know a dirt track that I've ever seen that goes by that rule. Maybe some sprint cars somewhere, but, you know, that's not how we do it down here. We have Dixie double file restarts. So, I mean, if they want to go and be more like a dirt track racing, then we'll have the leaders bring the pace car to the start of these races. So, that's mine right there. What's yours, Mr. CJ Sport?
One thing I'd love to see again was maybe a modification, the back-to-back races like we did at Pocono. I'm a bigger fan. We would have, hey, you get one car, you bring it, we do Daytona back-to-back. Like, you make it through that wild card race the first time, you're good to go in that second one. But I like the back-to-back races, bring one car, and I'm a big fan of the no qualifier. Well, not maybe so much the no qualifying, kind of, but the no practice. Like, I like to see, hey, we're going to throw in these cars the way you guys got them set up. That's the way it is. You guys will have to be racers. You guys will have to make adjustments throughout the race, and we'll see who really knows how to race a car versus who knows how to really set up a car. So I do like those aspects. I'm still kind of confused on the whole cone thing. I've heard a lot of conversation about that. So that's something I'm still uncertain about and confused on, and exactly all the details of that.
That's exactly why I don't like it. You just said the exact reason why I don't like it, because it's too damn confused. Come off fifth on out of the pit stall, then you know when you go come down pit road, then that's where you should line up fifth. Okay, so how you can go from fifth to second just because some other people decided to drop down or whatever? I find that to be too complicated, and actually I don't get the strategy behind that, because I would want to make sure that I wanted to start. I mean, I understand top lines and bottom lines are sometimes different in places.
Well, what
you
is
know, some
tracks what if you're the fifth car in line at Martinsville? Would you want to take that second spot being stuck on the outside and take your chance you're going to bowl your way in every time that you start on the outside, or would you just go ahead and line up in the fifth spot on the bottom, even if that moves you back to 8th and 9th, 10th or something?
Yeah, that's what I'd be fearful of. I mean, I'm losing position there, right? I mean, anything could happen, and the more cars I have to pass.
But you could lose more being stuck on that outside, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. So I don't
understand your logic, Chris. Don't get me wrong. I understand your logic, but yeah. Some of these tracks I also understand that, you know, like Martinsville, I think I would take that fifth spot on the inside that might equal 9th position versus moving up to 2nd if I was a 5th car in line, because I might lose more than 3 positions on that outside restarting out there versus just staying 5th, and then we're going to pass all those cars on the outside anyway, so I'm going to be 5th when it's said and done anyway.
Yeah. But then when you wind up 8th and there's a big pileup in front of you and you were already in front of a car that wrecked you, you should have been in front of a car that wrecked you, then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be butthurt because you made a strategy move. Your crew chief told you to make a move, and it wasn't the right move.
I agree. I mean, I completely understand, but I also understand the advantages and disadvantages. I understand both sides of it, so I can understand why at certain tracks, but I can also understand not wanting to give up valuable position. It's like that. Do you start in the front or do you fall to the rear of Daytona scenario? Where do you want to put all your chips in on it? Do you want to be way back in the back, or do you want to, in hopes that you're way out in front of anything that happens? So I understand, though.
Yeah, and I sometimes, you know, I wonder if this isn't a way to kind of, you know, what do you say? Manipulate. In other words, if I'm a Hendrick driver and I'm going to push you to the wind, are we not setting ourselves up for that? For basically team rules, right?
I was gonna say, especially at a restart or green light checkered, you get down to the playoffs,
right,
or in rounds, you know, and you two take the top line, so and so can be the second car in line, even though they're fourth right now. That extra so many points will get him into the next round or whatever. So yes, I could see that being a whole issue.
Right. So, what do you think about the Bubba Wallace deal right now, with the fact that he has a lot of sponsorship money that's being thrown his way? Do you expect him to re-sign with Richard Petty Motorsports? There's been a rumor that Denny Hamlin could actually purchase Richard Petty Motorsports and run Toyota. What do you think is going on between Richard Petty Motorsports and Bubba Wallace? And do you foresee him returning to RPM?
I talked about this last week, and I feel the same way. And my thoughts on this are, he would be an idiot not to sign with RPM. You have the opportunity to be part owner of a team, and you're able to drive for that team to make that money as well. You're bringing in sponsors. So right now, for some reason or another, other than this whole noose thing, you're getting sponsors that really other drivers that are finishing better actually deserve. But I'm not gonna give that whole debate. But you have a chance to drive for a team that you're partial owner of from, so you're going to get paid as a driver. You're going to get, you know, your equity in being the owner. And then when you walk away from it, when you decide that you're done driving, the sponsors are not going anywhere. You got sponsors that are following you. They're not following wherever you're, you know, they're not for RPM. They're for you. So if you drive
right.
for another team or whatever the case is, they're going with you. Same as if you get out of the driver's seat. Okay, you already know that the team that you are part owner of is now going to be taken care of sponsorship-wise, because they're going to continue to support and sponsor your brand, because that's who they are sponsoring. And so to me, it would be crazy to go anywhere else. I know Chip Ganassi's name has been thrown out there a few times. To me, it would be insane, because you honestly, at this point, the equipment is about the same. They're both about a good, I don't know, 8 to 14th place on average type vehicles, teams.
Right.
Richard Miller might be a little bit, have the edge a little bit some weeks. I feel Bubba has been, you know, putting quality finishes in there. But I would say between 8 and 14th. So you're willing to go drive for someone else, but you're really going into the same equipment that you're going to get paid pretty much the same, maybe a little bit more, but then you don't have no ownership. So you're not going to win any more races. You're not going to win any more championships than the equipment you're in right now. Plus, you have a chance to further your career, be a part owner, and be a part owner with the king of racing. Like, why would you go anywhere else to sign with anybody? That they wouldn't even make no sense.
Yeah, why would you give up your... Yeah, like you just said, with sponsorship, these are sponsorships signing on with Bubba's name, right? So why would you want to turn that key over to somebody like Chip Ganassi, who's gonna, you know, basically take your money and try to spend it on on another team as well, you know, on the one car? At least with Richard Petty Motorsports, you know that you're building your program from within. And I'll be honest with you, it's not just Bubba's performances that have been good. But it's also the equipment that they're getting from Richard Childress. I think Richard Childress's equipment this year is by far to Hendrick's, you know, performances. Hendrick seems to get a couple wins right now, but they're always at trick places, you know, low downforce tracks or like this past weekend, the road course. But Richard Childress seems to be, with Austin Dillon and Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace, they put together some pretty good finishes. And so it just shows that the equipment has gotten better with Richard Childress, you know, Richard Childress Racing, and that's something to build off of. You know, you look at the success Tyler Reddick and Austin Dillon have had this year, and I don't think anybody would have expected that out of the Richard Childress team. Now you add in the fact that all the 43 car is a car rolled out of the Richard Childress shop into the RPM hauler. So everything that car has is all coming out of the same shop that Tyler Reddick and Austin Dillon are getting. I would build the program that I'm with before I would go and give my money to somebody else and expect them to continue to build. Because we all know that Kyle Larson was stunted by Chip Ganassi from the get-go. If Kyle Larson had come in with a higher powerhouse team like a Stuart Haas or like a Penske Racing or a Hendrick Motorsports a few years ago, Larson would not be where he is today in the win total. He would have a lot more wins. Ganassi has, had to pennies and diamonds way into the Cup Series, unlike Hendrick and some of these other powerhouses that have a lot of money to spend.
Just think, though, what happens if Denny Hamlin jumps on board? What happens if Denny Hamlin becomes part owner, brings his Jumpman brand? He's got his own brand that follows him, and I'm sure FedEx has got a relationship with Joe Gibbs. But I know Jumpman is Denny Hamlin's product. So if he brings his money, they become basically a satellite team of Joe Gibbs if they do go Toyota. I'm assuming that's where they're going to get their equipment from. How much does that change Richard Petty Motorsports when you have the backing of and the experience of Hamlin, Toyota, Joe Gibbs product, and a two fully funded teams?
If I was Bubba, I wouldn't want that to happen because I would be afraid of what has happened with the other TRD teams as well, that outside of Joe Gibbs, because every single TRD team has shut down other than Joe Gibbs. And so I would be cautious that would be the actual way I would want to go. And I think that would make me want to go to Chip Ganassi Racing if that were to be the case, because, Joe Gibbs has left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths here lately. And it's not just him giving up on young talent, but it's also the fact that he's shut down two or three race teams since he's been over at Toyota. And it's because, you know, he controls basically TRD. And, if I'm Bubba Wallace, then, you know, I know that my money is just going for Kyle Busch to get his act together. But now Denny Hamlin, you know, there's a lot of control factor with Denny Hamlin. I'm not sure if Denny Hamlin did go to RPM, if it would be basically a Joe Gibbs deal. I feel like TRD is looking for somebody other than Joe Gibbs to be affiliated with. And because I think TRD understands, look, man, we started with three teams, and all three teams went bankrupt within 10 years. Red Bull, Michael Waltrip Racing, and Bill Davis Racing. You know, these teams are gone. They're not coming back. That was the original teams that they had together. So if you bring in a Denny Hamlin and you offer him a TRD package, I believe Michael Jordan could even have a part of this ownership with the equity firm that they are talking about bringing in. And if that's the case, I would expect a totally different deal outside of Joe Gibbs, to be honest with you. I would feel like this is TRD saying, hey, we've had a great run with Joe over here, but we want to build it in-house as well. We want somebody else to represent our company. And so you wouldn't see the buyback program that you've seen with JGR if Denny Hamlin. If Denny Hamlin leaves Joe Gibbs, he may take the manufacturer with him, but he's not going to take, you know, he, whether it be Denny Hamlin or Kyle Busch, I don't believe they'll take the brand of Joe Gibbs with them when they go.
Okay, if they don't take the brand, then does Bubba Wallace stay then?
That would be, I would, yes. Because now, once again, I'm helping build something. You know, my money's not buying something that's already there and I'm just going to get chunk change at the end of the day. I'm buying into something. Yeah, you know, I mean, you're looking at, there's a whole motor department over at Dodge that's still over at Penske Racing that's still available there's you know, everything's there to start building motors again. You don't have to build a Dodge motor. So, you know, if that's the case and they really do have the backing to do such a thing, I would expect Denny Hamlin to have a 2-3 car team. And maybe even an affiliation with Aspire Motorsports to help get them their charters. Of course, Richard Petty Motorsports has 2 charters. Most people don't know about that. Their second charter is shared with Rick Ware Racing, and at the end of this year, they either have to sell that charter or they have to take it on their sale. Now, of course, all they have to do is rent out the 43 charter now if they were to take the old 44 charter back. So, I mean, they're still able to rent one and keep one. But you're only allowed to rent it out for 2 years before you have to make a decision of keeping it as your own charter or selling it.
Learn something new every night.
Yep, that's right. Well, we got anything else going on here for our hot topics there, Mr. CJ Sports? If not, I think we can go ahead and close out the show and I've gotten to scratch my head and think of where we go from here, because I know that your commitment is as our producer, not as our co-host, and it just seems that there's a lot of other issues going on. But we want to keep this show going.
Where are they racing next?
Good question. You just stumped me. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, it's been such a long week. Let's check it out real quick. So, it's the end of the – we're damn near to the end of the chase. So, let's check out the NASCAR schedule real quick. I can't believe you got me on that one. Holy crap. Maybe that's why Craig doesn't show up anymore. Let's see. All right. Is it Darling? It can be Darling.
Oh, yeah. I know there's been a lot of throwback vehicles. Is it Darlington, frankly?
No, we'll return to competition this weekend for the doubleheader at Dover International Speedway. So we're having a doubleheader at Dover this weekend. I know we're getting real close to the Daytona race, and obviously the Darlington race as well. So we're going to Dover this weekend. I can't believe that one slipped my mind, but yep. We'll have a double race at Dover.
That works for me. Makes for some interesting racing this weekend. Monday night, I'll be back in the studio. Izzo will be joining me at 8:30. Unfortunately, my Blue Jackets have been eliminated. I got to watch my first 5-overtime jacket game, and this last game was a heartbreaker. We lost 5-4, and I believe it was an overtime. If not, it was late in the third, but it started off rough and then it became a game. But join us 8 o'clock Monday night. 8 o'clock, yeah, Monday night, right on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network for the 110 Nation Sports Show. I got to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus and More Than Music. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. Make sure you guys like the 110 Nation on Twitter or on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation, and also check out our site www.the110nationsports.com for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation.
Yeah, just to kind of give an update of what's going on, we have Dover for Saturday and Sunday, and then the next weekend, my friend, is the last race of the chase. It's going to be, last race before the chase. It's going to be at Daytona International Speedway on Saturday, August 29th for the Coke Zero 400. So we are going into playoff time. We've got 3 races left, and we're going into playoff mode. Let's pick. Who's your favorite this weekend for the double? Can Kyle Busch get it done? I mean, that's the question. Like, we're going into the playoffs, 3 races away. 2 of them are going to be this weekend. 1 of them's at Daytona. We can't expect him to win at Daytona because it just doesn't seem to happen for him at Super Speedways. But what about Dover? Is this the weekend that Kyle Busch can get the monkey off his back?
Busch wins in one of the last 3 races of the season and carries the momentum into the playoffs. Like I shared in the group, there was once upon a time a Tony Stewart that didn't win any races, made the playoffs, then he won 5 races. So I have all the confidence in the world. I'll have a 2020 NASCAR champion Kyle Busch shirt to go with my 2019. why not? I'll go ahead and we'll just get it knocked out right in the on the Saturday race, and let's go with Kyle Busch.
Well, it seems to be every weekend that we go into a doubleheader, we have two drivers that win the race, and it's either going to be Kevin Harvick or Denny Hamlin. So I'm not going to change. I'm going to take Kevin Harvick for Saturday, and I'm going to take Denny Hamlin for Sunday. But I'll also take Denny Hamlin for Saturday and Kevin Harvick for Sunday. So either way, that's my picks, and I'm sticking to them.
There you go. And what you got going on?
Well,
why not?
Well, we are done. I've quietly stated that I think somebody got in trouble. And so I don't really know for sure. I haven't heard anything, but I have kind of gotten wind of maybe somebody got in trouble. So I'm really wondering if we'll have any more races for the rest of the year. Our next scheduled race is in October for the Fall Classic. I was hoping that we would continue the schedule without foosball starting until late September. But, you know, at least we had a big race this past weekend and got to have a lot of fun, and I'm wore out, and I put in, you know, we raced until 6 o'clock in the morning, both days on Saturday and Saturday morning and Sunday morning. We've seen the sunrise at the racetrack. When you join that kind of elite club, man, when you race all night and you get to watch the sunrise, you watch the sun go down and come back up. That puts you in a whole nother bracket of elite fan there.
That it does.
Yeah, definitely. So it's not the 24-hour Rolex either, right? It's dirt track racing. But no, we had a lot of fun this past weekend, and that's always a big race, and we're kind of used to the things that happened at that race happening. I've shared some photos and some carnage that happened over the weekend, and you know, if you went home with a piece after this past weekend, you probably did better than 120 other people. So. we even had a whole field wreck. I think 22 cars were caught up in one incident where a car was trying to take it three wide at the start. But, yeah, so that'll be it for us, and we'll have a lot more time to spend on the show here. Of course, I'll try to make sure that I'm not still working next week. I was just trying to get caught up and make a little bit more from my pocketbook this weekend after having to take off a little bit last weekend to go do something fun. But, I appreciate you filling in for me, Mr. CJ Sports, and hopefully next week we'll have us a co-host.
No problem. Always glad to hang out with you guys.
All right. Thank you very much. And race fans, thank you for listening to the show here. We can't wait to be back next weekend. Until then, good night and have a great week. Bye.
Bye.